Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We come this morning to our Sunday worship on this Easter Sunday. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Our hymn is number 232 in Rejoice and Sing. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Hymn 232.
Thank you. now our opening prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Easter Sunday morning, rejoicing in the glorious news that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We give you thanks for the love that's expressed in the cross of Calvary and the consummation of your work done in the resurrection. Lord Jesus, we thank you that though you promise to be where two or three are gathered together, though we are separated, your love binds us together in wholeness and in fellowship. This morning may we truly worship you, may we have fellowship with you and with each other though separated, and indeed may we draw strength from your love, and may we be commissioned once again to be your people in community, to serve you and to proclaim your gospel. May this short service commend us and enable us to do those things that you would have us do. So we join together in that family prayer which you taught your disciples, beginning, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our first reading this Easter Sunday comes from Jeremiah 31 and the first 6 verses. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. They will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survived the sword will find favor in the wilderness. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take up the timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a day when watchmen will cry out on the hills of Ephraim, Come, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God.
Our first New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, reading from chapter 3 and the first 4 verses. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Our Gospel reading comes from St. John chapter 20 and the first 18 verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Then Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now, Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." Jesus said, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me. I haven't yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. May God give understanding and open our hearts to the meaning of these readings we shared this morning. Amen. We sing our second hymn, hymn number 246 from Rejoice and Sing, "The Day of Resurrection, Earth Carried Out Abroad," hymn 246.
Andrew was watching his father, the vicar, writing a sermon for Easter Sunday. And as children do, he asked inquiringly, "How do you know what to say, Dad?" Why, his father replied, "God tells me." To which the little boy observed, "Oh, then why do you keep crossing things out?" Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You see, there's a dichotomy within the Christian human state, which, while struggling to discern the mind of Christ, is very often distracted by those things which glitter in this world. Hence, as we move forward and nearer to Him whose grace saves us, there's a need to cross out, to erase many of the things which have been written in our lives, just as our friend the vicar struggled to hear correctly the word of God. Eugene Hoyland Peterson, a Presbyterian minister, scholar, theologian, he was an author and a poet as well. I believe he passed away some 2 years ago. Said something along these lines. Today's culture conditions us to approach people and situations as journalists do. See the big, exploit the crisis, edit and abridge the commonplace, interview the glamorous. The scriptures and our best pastoral traditions train us in a different approach. Notice the small, persevere in the commonplace, appreciate the obscure. John 20:15, he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you put him and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Don't hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Here on Easter Day, Mary Magdalene, last at the cross, earliest at the grave, thinking that he was the gardener, head held low, thoughts full of sadness. Sadness that which had happened on the Friday night when the sky darkened and the thunder cracked, and it seemed that the evil power of Rome combined with misguided religious leaders and the support of the people had snubbed out the life of a man whose love and grace embraced all humanity. When with the thrust of a spear, the final spark of life, the hope of the world had been snubbed out. Seeing only the mundane gardener, yet in that mundane experience, in the appearance of the mundane, the greatest salvation, the greatest revelation of all time was first given to Mary Magdalene. That seemingly unbelievable truth that, after all, love could never be destroyed by evil, that death could no longer triumph over life, that the veil of the temple was indeed rent in twain, and humankind, being perfected by Jesus' grace, could freely enter and receive the Father's blessing and embrace. Christ Jesus, the Saviour of the world, was alive. He is risen indeed. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. My life and thought have been greatly influenced by my friends, the Reverend Byron and Connie Burdett, who served as missionaries with great distinction in India for over 40 years. Equally, I'm indebted to the Reverend Terence Byron, who took services for me at Age UK over a number of years. Terence served in India too. He was a great friend of Leslie Newbigham, Bishop of the Diocese of Madras in the United Church of South India, and United Reformed Church General Assembly Moderator in 1987. Amy Beatrice Carmichael, well, she also served as a missionary in India for over 55 years without a furlough, opening an orphanage and founding a mission in Darnavo. She commented, recently I was sent a picture. It's a picture of a jug into which water was being poured. The idea was that love, or whatever we need, is poured into us like that. I don't think of it like that at all. I think of the love of God as a great river pouring through us, as the waters pour through the ravine in full flood. Nothing can keep this love from pouring through us except, of course, our own blocking of the water. Do you sometimes feel that we've got to the end of our love for someone who refuses and repulses us? Such a thought's folly. But one can't come to the end of what one doesn't have. We have no store of love at all. We're not jugs. We are riverbeds. When that stone was rolled away, there came forth such a great torrent, such a great outpouring of love, love that was to touch the disciples, changing their despair to joy. And at Pentecost, that love burst forth on a dejected world to flow through the disciples, through the world like a mighty torrent which had the potential to change the world in every age like never before. Does that torrent flow through us in our age at this time, I wonder? Amongst Saint Augustine's sayings are these three. The first, heaven forbid that we should believe in such a way as not to accept or seek reasons, since we couldn't even believe if we didn't possess rational souls. And the second one, the true servants of God are not solicitous that he should order them to do what they desire to do, but that they may desire to do what he orders them to do. And the third one, pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. I think the message for this time is that we're called as church, we're called as Christians by the rationality of God's grace to project true perspective onto a panic-stricken nation. Grateful that the measures enacted by those of goodwill and compassion will ensure a low mortality rate for the present virus. We will, of course, grieve with the possible addition of 10,000 bereaved, as we will do with the 560,000 who annually pass away through natural causes in the United Kingdom. In this time of crisis, the risen Christ offers the greatest encouragement the world has ever known. He who would always ask us to view the glass as 96.6% full. That's the World Health figures for those recovering from COVID-19. So may we reacting to Christ's outpouring of saving love, respond by such a closeness to Him that we may by nature desire to do what He orders, praying as though everything depended on God, but working as though everything depended on us. May we so respond this Easter to that torrent of love released in the world by the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is risen indeed. Amen.
Hymn which precedes our prayers of intercession is hymn number 495 from Rejoice and Sing. Father, hear the prayer we offer, not for ease this prayer shall be. Hymn 495. Sometimes we behave as if it is. You make yourself known in different ways to different people at different times. Some have confidence, a certainty which prompts them constantly to jump straight in and race to you, never really looking back. Bless them for their faith. Some run ahead with eagerness and passion, but hesitate. Hesitate when the realities of life loom real and large. Bless them for their faith. Some are overwhelmed, waiting, wanting, needing, and yearning for you, not sure what to think, how to make sense, what to dare to believe. Bless them for their sake. Whatever our path or experience, you call us all to you, and you give each a message to share with different people at different times in different ways. It's a journey, it's not a race. And we bless you for the gift of faith. Amen. Now we remember the present crisis, and we say in the words given to us, Lord Jesus, in the midst of a storm, you said, peace be still. Bid our anxious fears subside. Sustain your church in faith, hope, and love. Bring our nation through this tumult. Grant wisdom to those with heavy responsibilities, and healing and hope to those who are infected. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 572 from Rejoice and Sing. Colours of day dawn into the mind, the day has begun, the night is behind. Hymn 572. also our closing prayer. We praise and thank you, our God, that in Jesus Christ you have given us life and brought forgiveness and healing to us. Continue, we pray, your healing work among us, and keep us ever mindful of your love and mercy, that we may faithfully, throughout all our days, do honour and glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.